Welcome to Crosswords, the podcast about practical Christianity. What does it look like to walk in Jesus' footsteps? How do I live in a culture hostile to godliness? These are questions that we will answer as we get our minds and heart on Jesus.
Good afternoon, family. What a pleasure it is to be with you and share this wonderful afternoon, because we are called to be children of the King. Amen. We're speaking on the mighty deeds of God as we review throughout the scriptures, looking and focusing on certain mighty deeds and exploring them a little bit further to see what we can learn from them. I'm titling this sermon, Revival in the Valley, and God's power of regeneration, which is a very hopeful theme to engage in. Now let's begin with the setting for this scene. It's in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. That's what we're going to look at. And the setting is this valley of dry bones, which depicts the desolation and the hopelessness of a situation. It reflects how sometimes our spiritual state can feel lifeless, disconnected. This is a common state in many people that are going through what we call the midlife crisis, where they're kind of looking around and reevaluating their own lives and saying, what have I done? Or what am I doing with my life? Or what has happened? You know, we lose the verve, we lose the energy of our younger years, and now we're getting older. Now we're more on the other side than we were on the side before. It's all downhill from here, right? And sometimes it can seem like a valley of dry bones, lifeless, disconnected, mirroring the extremely dry bones that Ezekiel was looking at. And this is what it means to be in the valley. When I think about being in the valley, we're thinking about being at a low point in our life. And the reality we may feel and sense all around us, which is really coming from our heart, right? I mean, our five senses may be giving us information about this supposed valley that we're in, but it's really what our heart is trying to dictate to us. And we need to be aware that what we see, the images that the forces of evil are presenting to us, are trying us to focus on, the news that we hear in social media or that we read, the family, the community, even in the church. Sometimes being with the family, we might get messages or we might see things that intimidate us, scare us, make us feel disconnected, make us feel belittled, even though that was not the original intention of what someone may have said or did for you. We may even hear things whispered. The Proverbs talk about how we shouldn't pay attention to some of the whispers that we may hear, because we may hear people even cursing us. And that's how the forces of evil kind of work sometimes. We may hear things that hurt us or that even scare us. You might read something on social media or read an article. Somebody shared something. You saw something on Facebook that scares you, or heard something at work. And all those things are designed really to make us feel vulnerable and weak. That's exactly what Satan and his cohorts want us to feel. That life in this body is very vulnerable, that we are weak, that we succumb to the things around us. Sometimes when we're young, we don't feel that way. We feel like we're going to live forever. When I was 20, I thought I was eternal, you know, that nothing was going to happen to me. Now that I'm 57, I'm reevaluating that now. And I'm saying, well, now you're more on the other side. You don't have that much time left. Sometimes that can make you feel weak. Sometimes that can make you feel hopeless. And I think that this picture of this valley of dry bones is just what the doctor ordered for us to think and see. Well, you know what? In the most desperate and hopeless and dry and disconnected situation in your life, God does amazing, wonderful deeds. And that trumps any kind of wish that the forces of evil may have for you. And you have to let that also sink deep into your heart. Your heart is the greatest enemy when you're down in the valley. And you can't listen to the lies. You can't listen to the desperation that you sometimes may feel, because then you're going to succumb to those ideas. That's how the demonic forces affect our thinking. So we're going to learn three things from this account in Ezekiel. We're going to learn that we need to first recognize our condition, understand our desolation and kind of accept, yeah, you know what? You are in a valley. That's where you're at. And what are you going to do about it now? Who are you going to look to in this situation? Because we also don't want to succumb to a lot of snake oil salesmen that are going to say they're going to try to get you out of this valley, and it is not true, okay? There's only one that can get you out of the valley permanently, and that's what we need to understand. Our desolation, why are we in that place? Second, that it is God's initiative that is going to take us out of the valley, not our own. We couldn't dig ourselves out of a valley if our life depended on it, because we don't know how. And that's where the snake oil salesmen come into play. Oh, you know, I got this little pill if you take it, or I got this patch that if you put it on, you're going to feel great, or I got this other book you got to read. And, you know, constantly, I mean, the libraries and the bookstores are full of books that are going to help you. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that new diet is going to help you for 6 months. And then after that, you're back in square one. What are you going to do about that, right? So that's the story of humanity, right? We're constantly recycling through all these promises, empty promises, like some of the brothers said here, that are not really going to take us out of a valley that is dry. Only God, only His initiative was able to give us the regeneration that we need. Because that's the third point here. God's regeneration. He does that not really just for you, but God regenerates for His glory. And we have to get that clear too, because we don't deserve to be given a chance of regeneration. We're just as dry as the bones in the dry valley. And that's where our body's going to end up. But God, because He wants to glorify His name, thanks be to Him that we have this opportunity and we can take advantage of this initiative that He initiated so that we can also get a taste of that regeneration. So let's go through little by little these three verses to get these points that I've laid out. Let's start in Ezekiel 37 verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we see Ezekiel's vision, this situation that God presents to him, and his probing question at the end, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Let's read it. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by His Spirit." We're studying the work of the Holy Spirit, right? And here we see an example of that. "By His Spirit, and set me down in the middle of the valley." It was full of bones. "He led me all around them." Let's stop there and think. Ezekiel was not just put in this situation and had him look over and see, oh, look at all these dry bones. No, God led him through this valley. I don't know how long that took, but God said, look, this valley is big. There's a lot of bones here. And no matter where you look, that's all you're going to see. Dry bones. Ezekiel says, there were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and he specifies they were very dry. In other words, any hope of any kind of life coming out of this was just not there. Because not only were they bones, they were dry bones, like the Mario character. So then he said to me, and I love this question that God poses to Ezekiel. Right? It sounds like Jesus' spirit, right? Jesus liked to ask probing questions of the people to see where their minds were at. And so God says, "Son of man." And there's a big significance behind why God calls Ezekiel son of man, but we're not going to get into that. He says, "Can these bones live? Can they live?" A very poignant point. Can you survive? Can you get out of this valley? Sometimes we ask God that question when we're in the valley, right? We're like, Lord, can I live here? Can I stay here? Why am I here? I can't survive. We ask God that question, don't we? Many times when we're experiencing a low point in our lives that we may feel disconnected, we may not feel spiritual. We've talked about, right, what that really means. There is no feel when that word spiritual is being used. But nevertheless, we feel that way, don't we? We feel disconnected. We think that, oh, I just got to read the Bible to feel spiritual again. Oh, I just got to get down and pray to feel spiritual again. And you know what we're doing? We're self-medicating when we get into that way of thinking. We're trying to get a feeling somewhere, and that's just what the world is selling, a feeling. We got to get away from that. That's not what regeneration is about. Many churches of Christ are dead, are crystallized. It's the same people over and over coming. Nobody new is coming. Nobody's getting baptized. Why? Because everybody's looking for a feeling. We don't feel spiritual. We feel disconnected. We're just a club. We come on Sundays. We sit down. We sing a few songs. We leave and our lives are the same. That is not regeneration, brothers and sisters and visitors. That's not what God is selling. Many young people say, well, I stopped going to church because it just isn't for me. And really, what are they saying? I didn't feel something that I was looking for. That's really what's going on. And so again, we fall into that mindset, that fake mindset, that we're here looking for some kind of feeling. And you know what you do when you're in that mindset? You are going to miss out on regeneration. You're not going to find it in the world. It's only found by God's initiative. So we have to be very careful that that mindset doesn't creep into us. Because as Ezekiel witnessed in the valley, he was really looking at his own future in his body. He said, that's all we are. Isn't that what the Bible says? From dust we came and what? To dust we will go. Even Kansas sang that a long time ago. All we are is dust in the wind, right? Very famous song by Kansas. So we're constantly reminded of that by the cemeteries that we visit. We're surrounded by cemeteries. How many more cemeteries are we going to have? Eventually, we're going to run out of places to live, right? Because people keep dying. Where are we going to put them? Everybody's dying to get into a cemetery, right? So by way of comparison, just to look at another angle of these dry bones of this valley of dry bones. I've known people who have lived extremely healthy lifestyles. People who were all about eating healthy, all about exercising. And unfortunately, some of them became victims of that opioid crisis that many have been suffering. And even though in their minds they were dead against the use of drugs and they ate and exercised and they were all about that. Unfortunately, because of some kind of accident or illness, they needed to be on pain medications. And unfortunately, they became dependent on those opioids. And man, it was really sad to see the decline of their life mentally, emotionally, physically. They became literal ghostly versions of themselves as their life was sucked away by the use of these drugs. Their eyes sank into their faces. They were shells of their former selves. And that to me, I always remember that as a picture of how people really look. When we look into the world, when we take a look at the people who are not of Christ, when you're in your job and you're interacting with people in your job, you know what? Your eyes are deceiving you because what you're looking at is a valley of dry bones without God in the picture. That's all that it is. And that's where we're going too. But fortunately, you know, we decided to take part in God's initiative and we opted out. But that's our job now, to make sure we tell people, can these dry bones live? Do you think they can live again? I'm reminded of what Jesus says here in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me. Let's remember that. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside. Like what? Like a branch that withers.
Have you ever wanted to read the Bible in plain English, a language that you can actually understand and follow? Well, there is a translation like that called God's Word Translation by God's Word to the Nations Mission Society. This is the only translation of the Bible in English that follows a dynamic equivalent translation philosophy. It makes the Bible very easy to understand and it flows very naturally in the English language. You can follow along my podcast where I read to you from God's Word Translation for one whole year. You can search for the podcast on Spotify or your favorite podcast reader. Search for God's Word Translation by God's Word to the Nation Mission Society. You can also look it up under my name, Pedro Gelibert.
You dry out without being connected to Christ. And they are thrown aside, these branches. They're gathered, thrown into the fire and burn. He's emphasizing here the importance of being connected. He is the vine. We are the branches. There is fruit God wants us to bear, but it's not your fruit because you can't do it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And we got to remember that too. It's not something that's going to be produced by your effort or your intelligence or skill. Not at all. All that stuff that you can produce by yourself, that's fine. Go and produce it. But that's not the fruit God is looking for. It's the fruit of the Spirit that only comes by us being connected, regenerated in Christ Jesus. The metaphor here conveys that deep spiritual truth about the necessity of remaining connected to Christ. And it has nothing to do with feelings, brothers and sisters. I may be feeling terrible. I may be feeling completely unspiritual, guilty even maybe of something. But what trumps all that is the fact, not the feeling, the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I died in baptism for Him. And I know He lives in me. That's enough to ward away any kind of feeling, any kind of deception that might come by way of men or my own heart to try to take me out of the way and disconnect me from the regeneration that exists in Christ. Because I want to be a fruitful person. Honestly, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. I don't feel fruitful many times. I'm like, what am I doing here? Why does God want me to do this? I'm not qualified to do this. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live amongst the people of unclean lips. I relate to Isaiah and to all of these other prophets. And they had, you know what they had? They had a very sensible idea and a conviction about the desolation in which they lived, which is the point God is making here. We have to be conscious that, yeah, you know what? We need regeneration. Because if you don't think you need it, then are you going to look for it? You need to be convinced you need this regeneration. We need to recognize our spiritual desolation, because when we acknowledge it, then we can truly understand that only God can give us this regenerative power. Which now brings us to point number two, God's initiative. So God is there. He asks Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? I love Ezekiel's answer. Ezekiel was like, Lord, only you know that. He wasn't presumptuous enough to tell God yes or no. He says, only you know, Lord, only you know. And I love that because it kind of brings us to Ezekiel's awareness that, you know, God, I'm not going to second guess anything here. I'm just going to go by what you show me. If you can make them live, you can make them live. If you don't want to make them live, then they're not going to live because it all comes from you. But I would love to live, yes. So let's read here in verses 4-6. He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I love that phrase that he utters throughout many of the prophets. Then you will know that I am the Lord. See, the Lord relies on a lot of convincing evidences to prove to us who he is over and over again through all these prophecies that he said in the Old Testament and in the New One too. Let's notice some things here. Look at the highlighted portion here. What is needed to bring life? What is needed? The word of the Lord. That's something that is very clear. Without the word of God, there is no life. That's the first thing that we need to notice here. God's word is needed for life, for renewal, for regeneration to happen. And something tied to that is God's breath, repeated here twice. The breath of God. We've been learning all about that Wednesday night, haven't we? Who's the breath of God? The Holy Spirit, right? He's the agent through whom which regeneration comes to. Now, let me tell you something. Even among people who don't believe, Steve mentioned them in his lesson, atheists, who do not believe in God at all. And guess what? As they live, as they walk, as they breathe, who sustains their very lives? The Word of God, the breath of life. Even they who do not believe are sustained. And even as they blaspheme God's name, they are sustained by that very name that they blaspheme. Now, in this situation, after Ezekiel hears God saying these things, he hadn't yet witnessed anything. God is just telling him what's going to happen. And he did command him to prophesy. And he tells them, when you start prophesying over these dry bones, this is what's going to happen. And Ezekiel is like, okay, it's an amazing reminder to us of what? What am I reminded of? What are you reminded of? When you see here God telling Ezekiel, you see all these dry bones? Ezekiel, there's one thing I want you to do with these dry bones. Only one thing. Preach the Word of God. They look dry. They look dead. You might not think anything's going to happen, but I command you, this is what you need to do. Preach the Word. What an amazing reminder. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm in a situation, whether in my job or somewhere, you know, I go to Trader Joe's, I look at what's happening, and in my eyes, I just see a valley. I just see dry bones. I'm like, who is going to listen to the Word of the Lord? What is the Word of the Lord going to do here? Doesn't that go through your mind sometimes, you know, at your job or at your school? Who is going to listen? Because what are you seeing? You're just seeing dry bones. But what did God tell Ezekiel? Even though that's what you see, there's only one thing that can bring life to these dry bones. And you're an agent. Now, not any other dry bone in this valley is going to stand up and preach the Word of the Lord, is it? Only you, Ezekiel, because you're the only one here that's not a dead bone drying out. So I love the picture here that, man, what a privilege I have that I get to preach the Word of the Lord to a valley full of dry bones. What an honor that God has put in me, in this weak vessel, the power of regeneration. Nobody has that. There is no pharmaceutical company, no psychological group, no medical group that can lay a claim to the type of regeneration that God has put in your hands as His son and as His daughter. Think about that power. The power of God and His regenerative action lives in you by the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with it? Is the question here. God is saying, Bart, Richie, Danny, can these bones live? That's what He's asking you. And what are you going to do? Shrug your shoulders? Only you know, Lord. That's a good way to respond. But then what's the next thing you should do? That's what Ezekiel did. Preach, prophesy to these dry bones. Let me illustrate this power in a different way. I'm going to show you some pictures here of abandoned cities reclaimed by nature. You've seen these? I love looking at these. You've seen some of these on social media, you know, where you got cities built by man and they just abandoned them for some reason or another. And in very little time, nature just said, nope, it's mine. It got reclaimed by nature. And when I look at this, I can only think of one thing. I can only think of the power of God's creation. I mean, plants are weak things. You know, I can take a plant and break it off and say, get out of here, you know, and a vine that creeps over my house, I can easily take it off. But we think it might be weak. You give it enough time, look what it can do. You give it enough time and you can see how nature reclaims what man has abandoned. Completely reclaimed over, even to the point where stone starts to crumble because the vines, as weak as you may think they are, they can get into any little crevice and start exploiting any little crack in the mortar or in the stone and completely break it down over time. That's an amazing That's an amazing evidence of God's power in His creation right there, that sometimes we don't appreciate it. This picture here is of Chernobyl. Now, some of you are too young to know what happened in Chernobyl some 33 years ago. A big nuclear disaster happened in Chernobyl, and everybody had to abandon the city. But guess who didn't abandon the city? The vegetation. It just kept growing and growing and growing, apparently unaffected by the radiation. Now people are starting to see coyotes and wolves come into the area, and it's a big mystery. They're like, wow, you know what? It's not the cockroaches that survived, as they used to think, in a nuclear fallout, but apparently all this life is there as well. Now, if you think that's powerful, and if you think nature reclaiming abandoned things by man is powerful, it does not compare. It does not hold a candle to the power God has given you to regenerate. This is temporary. Creation is temporary. It's not going to last long. But God has given you a spirit that is eternal and that can grant the power of regeneration over and over, like a well spring that doesn't end. Doesn't Jesus describe us that way? A fountain that just keeps giving and giving and giving. Now, if our minds are focused on that, do we have time to get depressed about what we have or do not have on this earth, about any little bickering or any nonsense that we hear or any little thing that offends you or me? Do you have time? Do you have the bandwidth to dedicate to those, to that nonsense? If you're allowing this vision to occupy your mind and to be put to use towards regeneration, that's what I'm thinking about, you know? That's what I think about when I read this. It's by God's initiative. It's by His Word. It's not even by my skill. It's not even by my will that this regeneration has happened. It's His promise. And He wants you to be part of that action. He wants you to bring life to the lifeless and teach them that they can trust and obey the Creator even when the valley looks as dry and as hopeless as that valley of dry bones God showed Ezekiel. It reminds me of this passage. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating. Look at the power here in that word, penetrating. Sometimes we say, right, oh, you know, I was telling him the gospel, but it went in one ear and out the other, meaning it didn't penetrate. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because if you were preaching the Word of God, what power does it say that word has? Oh, it'll get there. It's going to get in there. Now, whether they accept it or not, that's on them. But it's going to get in there. They're not going to forget, especially if you bring it up over and over again. The power's not in you, okay? It's not in you. Yes, you're giving it some power by being the vessel that delivers it. So yeah, if you keep your mouth shut, then nothing's going to happen. But if you talk about it and you say it again, there is a power there that's able to penetrate, and it goes deep into the soul, the spirit. I don't know where that is, but God's Word can find it. It can get in there, and it's able to judge. Wow, so I'm not the one judging, but God's Word is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions. Tell me that is not a mighty deed of God. Tell me that is not a mighty deed of God that you can wield, that God has allowed you to wield that kind of positive power in the lives of people. So we know how this ended, right? Point number three, God brings about regeneration. He says here, one of the promises in Ezekiel, I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. This is God's promise. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You see how it's God's initiative? I mean, I could have wanted a new spirit, but I couldn't do anything about it. But it was God's will all along to want to give us the tools so that we are not idolatrous people, so that we're people who can obey Him and trust Him. He says here, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And the promise again, verse 27, which we know it came true in Acts chapter 2, I will place my spirit within you. That was God's promise all along. That's what he wanted all along. And I love this. I love this. Watch this. And I will cause you, I will cause you to follow my statutes. Because you can't even do that. But because I'm going to give you a new spirit and a new heart, I will cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my... I love God. I mean, God is amazing. Even when I can't do anything, and he should have kicked me to the curb for wanting to do the exact opposite, yet he wants to give me a spirit and a heart that's going to cause me to want to do these things. Tell me God is not awesome. Tell me that the Word of God doesn't have regenerative power to change our lives. This heart of stone, and we know what it's like to have a heart of stone. We were there in the world. You know, we were there when things went in one ear and out the other, when we didn't really care, when all we had were bad things to say about everything around us. That's the heart of stone. Rebellious, stubborn, lazy.
If you like this podcast, please show your support by clicking on the support link on my Anchor FM profile. This ensures I will continue producing authentic Christian content as the Lord allows me. Thank you and have a blessed day.
But this heart of flesh that God wants to give us, it symbolizes a responsiveness to the will of God, a desire to be corrected, a desire to look for the right thing, a zealousness to repent and want to honor God. That is regeneration, a desire to do that. Somebody who doesn't desire to do that, I'm sorry, there is no regeneration. Do you have regeneration in you? Or are you just part of a religious club that's going nowhere? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. This theme is not only central in the book of Ezekiel, one of the reasons why I really like the book of Ezekiel. The theme of regeneration is just woven all through this book, this unique book. But this theme of regeneration resonates through the whole Bible. I mean, this is what Jesus was about. This is what the Holy Spirit is about. God's desire to transform human hearts and to restore a right relationship with his people. It's really pointing to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the major work that the Holy Spirit is doing right now in the lives of people, using you as part of that work. We're part of this. We're part of something amazing here. And we need to keep that in mind and not go through the world like ho-hum doldrums, you know, like everybody else who is just a dry bone walking. We're different. You have to be convinced of that if you're a child of God. You know, you're on a mission from God. Like the Blues Brothers said back in the 1983 movie, we're on a mission from God. Well, we got to really believe that too. Yeah, so here's Ezekiel in this last part where God is now going to fulfill his promise. And he's going to show some fireworks here to Ezekiel. Now, if somebody would ever make a movie about this, if Steven Spielberg would sit down with some other great director and made a movie about what these words say, it would be an awesome movie indeed to look at. So here's Ezekiel. He said, I prophesied as I had been commanded. Ezekiel, good for you. Are we doing this? Are we going to the dry bones and prophesying, speaking the word of God to these dry bones? Maybe Ezekiel didn't want to do it, but he said here, I had been commanded, so I did it. If that's the only way we know how to obey, then let's do that at least, right? As we see the dry bones before us. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, the hip bone connected to the, you know that song? That's where that song comes from, by the way, from this illustration here. The bones were connecting together. And then imagine that. Imagine you're standing in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And all of a sudden, these skeletons start. That's like a nightmare, though, isn't it? For those of you who don't like skeletons, you know, that's not a pleasant thing to observe. You know, you might think they're out to get you. And, you know, and not only that they come together, the skeletons forming, but something more amazing, the tendons appeared on them. And then the muscle layer, you know, and then the vital organs. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, a little gory, right? To witness all that going on. And then skin, he says, but there was no breath in them. So they were not breathing. They were just there like lifeless statues. But God said to me, verse 9, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath. Come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So notice how, and here's where God is, he's amazing because it's God who's wielding the power. You know, why does God need Ezekiel to do any of this? God could just do it himself, can't he? I mean, he's God. But he wants to involve the little ants he created, you know, in his work. He wants us to feel needed, useful somehow. And he says, I got the power, Ezekiel, but you don't. Go say it. Say it. And it's going to happen. I love that about God. He wants us to get involved in the work here of regeneration. That's such an honor. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they were a vast army. He says here, a vast army. Ezekiel witnessed a mighty deed of the Lord. He witnessed God's regeneration, and he witnessed it physically. The spiritual regeneration taking place in us is not something we can witness and say, oh, here it is, or there it is happening. We can't see it with our physical eyes. What we can see is the fruit of the Spirit that we can witness. And so that's why God says, and when these things happen, you will see that I am the Lord. And so when we see changes in people's lives, as I see in many of your lives, I know it's not you doing these things or saying these things or wanting to do these things. I know that's the Spirit of God in you, and it makes me rejoice. It's a vibe. You know, your spirit vibes with my spirit, and I sense that synergy. I'm not going to say feel because I'm not going to fall into that, but I sense that synergy of us. And you know what? That's what makes us a family. What makes us a family, it's not that we're part of this club called the Long Island Church of Christ, because it's not a club. It's the body of Christ. And the Bible is very clear of what are those liaisons that make us feel this family thing. You know who it is, right? You know who I'm talking about here. The bonds of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us that makes us one and connects us and gives us that family feel. It is regeneration. And it is all involved in this plan of regeneration. We know that it is a regeneration that only comes by the Word of God, as God Himself said here. Make no mistake about that. Just like eating healthy and exercising may bring healing, may bring proper regeneration. I mean, the body is amazing at regeneration. You know, somebody smoked for 35 years and their lungs were black and going to waste, and they stop smoking, and you know what can happen in many cases? And those lungs regenerate. Your liver, you can give up to 2/3 of your liver to somebody that may need a liver, and guess what's going to happen to the 1/3 you got in here? Whoop, it grows right back. It's amazing. It's a shame it doesn't happen with my arm, right? Because cut off, or my finger. I would have loved to be like a lizard, you know, regenerate a whole new limb. But God has His reasons of why He didn't make us that way, right? But it shows that the body has amazing powers built in that testify to an even greater regeneration, which is the spiritual regeneration. Just like opioids suck the life out of the people that I knew, you know, the world is a worse opioid. It sucks the life out of you. It sucks the life that God wants to give you. And anyone, whether they are believers or not, who lived long enough in this world, they can testify that that is the truth. This regeneration God's Spirit causes, I'm going to illustrate it to you in people who've experienced radical transformation in their lives after an encounter with God. I mean, maybe not all of us have this radical transformation. Some of you can display this radical transformation. You know, you were a drug user, you were in the dumps, you know, you were somewhere and then Christ came by and now you're over here. Some of us didn't go way over here and then way over here. Everybody's different, right? I mean, some people, this is what they look like before and after pictures of drug use. I mean, you've seen this on social media, right? People who were drug users and the drugs just, I mean, they literally looked like death was on them because of the power that those drugs have to suck the life out of you. And then when they stop using it, the amazing regenerative powers of the body come through. I mean, it's amazing that our body, we can abuse our body to such an extent and it bounces back. But as we get older, it doesn't have that ability as much, so you have to be careful, right? But, you know, here's another amazing one. You know, this worldly person before who sought regeneration in the ways of the world and thought he could live forever. And then reality awoke him up one day. And he realized that, nope, the world has no power of regeneration. Only God does. And somebody was kind enough, like Ezekiel, to prophesy over to me. Bob saw some dry bones here that were wasting away in some college dorm room, languishing in the empty spaces of New York Institute of Technology with many other dry bones around. And he prophesied. And what happened? The word of the Lord came and saved the day, man. Regeneration. That's what the gospel brings. The power of regeneration. He has a program of regeneration that he has initiated and he wants everybody to be a part of it. I mean, how many of us have tried diet fads, exercise fads, because we're trying to regenerate something. We're trying to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. And maybe some of us accomplished that. And we lost 20 pounds. And then 10 years later, we gained 30. We gained the 20 plus another 10 as a bonus. Right? And then we're looking for another diet fad or something else. I mean, the multi-level marketing business systems take advantage of this desire that we have to find the little magic pill, the little magic potion, the magic thing that is going to help us just get over this hump. Something's going to help us get over this hump, but I tell you right now that there is no such thing. There's no such snake oil, spiritually speaking. There's only a truly one-stop shop for regeneration, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus and in His message. It's the only thing that can renew you from the inside out, like a microwave. You know, a microwave cooks from the inside out. Well, the power of the gospel regenerates you from the inside out. Any other thing that they sell you out there maybe can tap into the powers of regeneration of the body, maybe even the power of the mind a little bit, right? But it's not enough. You're still going to die anyway. You're still going to become dry bones because nothing can stop that. But the gospel, that's the only one that will stop that because it regenerates from the inside out. If you really believe that Jesus has that power, take this first step. Take this first step of assuring that faith, of becoming convinced and saying, you know what? I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to believe in Him. And I'm going to recognize that there is desolation that lives within me and all around me for that matter. And I'm going to take that first step and I'm going to be immersed. I'm going to get baptized into the name of Jesus because I'm going to trust Him and the power of regeneration that He gives. So reiterating the central message of today's sermon, understand that God's power to regenerate and restore is beyond our understanding. It's beyond science. There is no science. Science is nothing compared to what God can do. It's by His will and for His glory that we're brought from desolation to life. And it's for everyone and anyone who wants it. We need to find hope in God. He's the one who brings life to the dead bones and transforms our spiritual wasteland into armies for His glory, just like this army that I have standing in front of me. So if anyone here in the audience, whether online or present, if you're feeling like dry bones at the moment, come forward. Let's say a prayer. Let's pray together and let's trust in God's regenerative power so that as a church we can witness the glory that together we can bring to God through the transformation that He's working in us currently and that He also wants to work in the dead bones that are outside these boundaries. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.